Amen. So thank you to everybody for being understanding about differences today. I'm feeling a lot better, but getting better from a cold takes energy. So I hope you don't mind if I sit and we'll have like a casual conversation kind of sermon. Does that work for everybody? Okay, and I've got a pocket full of cough drops. We're fine. So not that long ago, we almost had real snow. The weather predictions were non-committal, and we worried about commuters and travelers and public safety workers. Winter weather can be both beautiful and terrible. And just when I thought that the snow was a complete hoax, and I set out on a long drive, flurries twirled through the sky. And we didn't get much more than a dusting. I don't know what you got here. We had sort of a layer of snow on my yard in Baltimore. But it was exciting. Melting water and frozen water were tumbling in tension in the unpredictable path towards spring. There may be other frozen skies this month, but warmer days are struggling into birth. Unitarian Universalism has its own kind of wintry mix. Our history shows us to be both critical and optimistic. We work for justice and compassion with confidence in the possibility of progress. With gratitude, we enjoy the gifts of the interdependent web and the support of our community. And we're also realistic as we learn more about the work that is yet to be done. Most of all, we are real people with joys and sorrows. Like everyone else, UUs have triumphs and disappointments, and we need our faith to comfort us, to sustain us, and help give voice to joy. As we circle together to dance with this simultaneous awareness of what could be and what is, the terrible and the beautiful throughout time, we can find inspiration from all of the sources of our living tradition, sacred text, the stories of prophetic people from history, and direct experience are just some of the strands of the music that keep us moving. In complicated times, I find encouragement in the 23rd Psalm. The translation I'll draw from today is the arrangement by Bobby McFerrin. It's in your hymn, in your teal hymnal, and we'll hear the choir sing it after the sermon. The 23rd Psalm describes the experience of a person who faces danger and opposition, and yet also finds a sense of renewal, forward momentum, and balance through spirituality. In our own lives and in the example of UUs who have gone before us, we too can find this centered place of gratitude and growth. Organizing in faithful communities can replenish the spirit. As the psalmist says, she restores my soul. The psalmist also says, she leads me in the path of good things. So let's call that connection. Resting in the persistence of beauty and grace, gifts that reach us beyond our own strength. Those gifts help us endure. That's the path of contemplation. And the spiritual path gives us the courage to move forward when we're in despair or we're just caught in a routine. By knowing our limits and using our gifts in the service of love, I believe that goodness and kindness will follow us all the days of our lives. And we'll live in her house, that is, we will dwell in the path of the spirit of life for a very long time. We cope with the beautiful and the terrible when we replenish the spirit and dwell in goodness. So let's start with connection. You know, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. Before service this morning, I was talking with the choir about, you know, my voice is recovering. And Nancy did this imitation of me giving a sermon. We must be kind to everybody. Anyway, she did a very good imitation of me. So, connection. She restores my soul. We have resources for both comfort and the strength to face challenges in our communities. Some people hold that the gathered community of faith is the divine body. The holy is tangible in the sense that helping hands and shoulders to cry on are among us, motivated by one Spirit. Here in this congregation, some of us believe in God, and some of us don't, and some of us leave the question unanswered. What we do believe in is each other. When we are lost, when we are feeling overwhelmed by the effects of brokenness in the world, there is still hope being kept alive by the energy of human relationships. Together we go looking for it. We shape the energy into beauty through art and music. We organize ourselves in such a way that hope and comfort and solace flow to the people who need it. A little earlier, we heard about Frances Ellen Watkins Harper, one of our UU ancestors who organized and advocated for and wrote literature for justice and compassion. Her magazine writing earned her the title of the Mother of African American Journalism. She also published books of poetry and novels and short stories, as well as writing her popular lectures. Her artistry with words brought people together. And like many of us, Harper was multi-religious. We heard how she grew up in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and she continued to be involved in the AME alongside her membership in the First Unitarian Church of Philadelphia. Mother Bethel Church in Philadelphia gave her a home base for volunteer work to relieve poverty and mentor young children and prevent juvenile delinquency. And First Unitarian gave her a home base to spread the word about her writing and her lecturing and her organizing. According to her entry in the UU Dictionary of Biography, AME was the church she had been raised in. It was family and home to her, and she always remembered where she came from and what her people had been through. The Unitarians, she knew, could help her advance the causes she supported in places she could never go. Harper's organizational ties throughout her city and her nation were impressive. We heard a little bit about that in the story. She helped bring people together in inspirational and practical ways, connecting the immediate relief of suffering as well as long-term justice advocacy. Harper's life shows us multiple ways of restoring souls through connection. She had many gifts. Individually, maybe only one of the gifts she demonstrated will be similar to ours, or maybe ours will be completely different. But as a community, we have many paths to help people come together in resilience. Does that make sense? We can't all be Frances Harper because she was a genius, right? But we might all each have a little bit of genius, and we bring it together. We have lots of ways of making connection. When we take the time for the arts in our own lives and encourage others to develop their talents, we're restoring souls. When we squarely acknowledge brokenness and introduce people to one another for the purposes of strength and healing, we are making repairs to the interdependent web. One of the questions I get asked sometimes is whether I agree that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. We can ask it more often than you might think. So if somebody asks me this privately, my answer doesn't matter as much as listening to the pain that inspired the question. But as a matter of public theology, I will say that I don't think God sits around deciding how much suffering to deal out to individual people. I believe that the divine weeps with us and holds us in love in our times of sorrow. I think a great deal of evil and suffering in the world is caused by people who make bad choices in the midst of anger and fear, and that these human mistakes require a human response. Also, I think the scope of the question needs to be expanded. Individuals are indeed met with more pain than one person can handle. There's no shame in not being able to cope silently and alone with grief or trauma. And we shouldn't have to. Together, neighbors and church members and movements and nations and world communities have a greater capacity to bear and transform suffering. That shared lifting takes willingness and cooperation and strategy. She restores my soul. The source of love is present in communities that align with the forces that create and uphold life. Just and compassionate gatherings of people are embodiments of the divine. May we create and expand the circles where spirits are replenished. Then there's dwelling in goodness. We'll call this contemplation. In his poem, Let Me Die Laughing, the Reverend Mark Morrison Reed writes, "We are all dying, our lives always moving toward completion. We need to learn to live with death and to understand that death is not the worst of all events." Morrison Reed's poem suggests that joy takes into account the authenticity of grief. He says that embracing our mortal limits is an invitation to use the gifts that we have. Fear might keep us from being compassionate or make us want to distance ourselves from the fullness of suffering and the fullness of ecstasy in the present moment. The fear that immobilizes us is often generalized, the ambiguous what-ifs, the unknown reactions, the clock that may or may not run out. The love that frees is often specific. Morrison Reed refers to savoring and appreciating, breathing deeply, and holding hands with one person. For myself, when I feel overwhelmed by the sorrows of people I care about and a constant stream of negative news reports, refocusing on specific people or positive events can help bring me back to my center. I go looking for the people who make a difference. I write a note to a good friend. Reminders of good things are available to me. The psalmist writes, "Surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in her house forever." Goodness and kindness may not be obvious in any one story or even in the wall of stories that come across the nightly news. On the other hand, odds are good that at any given moment, someone I know is perpetuating goodness. Carrying that knowledge in the pocket of my mind helps me to calm down and to spread kindness when I'm able. Knowing our mortal limits, gathering with others to nurture our gifts and to expand the reign of love. These are some of the ingredients for traveling alongside the holy. May we live boldly, aware of the boundaries of this precious life. May we find assurance and peace in hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, and seeing the blessings directly in front of us. But I want to circle back to still waters, because this is where I find courage. This morning's reading by Howard Thurman reminded us that we and life itself are traveling along the growing edge. Now, the growing edge is not a comfortable place to be. The growing edge is a place of unknowing and maybe some growing pains. Yet this is where the mystery of transformation happens. Growing moves on in the roots when we can't perceive it above the surface. Connectedness and stillness are part of the equation. Drawing from all of those things together, connectedness and stillness and the mystery of what is beyond our knowing, all of those things can bring us courage. Thurman writes, "Such is the growing edge. It is the extra breath from the exhausted lung, the one more thing to try when all else has failed, the upward reach of life when weariness closes in upon all endeavor. This is the basis of hope in moments of despair, the incentive to carry on when times are out of joint and men have lost their reason, the source of confidence when worlds crash and dreams whiten into ash. Thurman exhorts us to have courage because life is more persistent than we might believe. Growth continues whether we observe it or not. There is strength that we didn't know we had, maybe strength that was not ours to begin with, yet that can be loaned to us in difficult times. I have wondered occasionally if there is more to the still waters in the 23rd Psalm than I had assumed at first glance. Still waters can be soothing, cooling, and nourishing. But I'm also wondering if the divine leads us to still waters because those are the best places for going over. Rough rivers and turbulent lakes are not safe for crossing. But still waters might be a sign that it is time to move through the mystery, to meet what is yet to come in the growing edge. In stillness, unknowing, and the persistence of life, may we find courage. Our Unitarian Universalist faith urges us to embrace both the goodness and the unfinished business of this world with honesty and passion. There is work to be done on behalf of justice and kindness. There's also beauty and joy. May our yearning for what could be thrive alongside our gratitude for what is. May our faith bring us together with people who practice the collective restoration of souls. Let us develop our own community and join in common cause with others to promote hope and healing. May our limits give us a reason to live in the moment. Notice goodness and kindness as it happens. Take an inventory of the beauty and blessings we experience in this very moment. May our connections and contemplations, observed and not observed, lend us the strength to have courage. So be it. Blessed be. Amen.